Right, from Romans 15, picking up from verse 14. So I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I've completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I might be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. So from chapter 16, from verse 1, just going to read verse 1. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. And then down to verse 16, chapter 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send their greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who write down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings. Now, to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let me pray and we'll go through this. Lord, do indeed thank you for this amazing book of Romans, Lord, for everything it's taught us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to understand Paul's final words here. Help us to pull it all together to understand what it means to us as a group of people. Amen. So if you remember last week we were looking at the fact that we need to build each other up. So we looked at the week prior to that, the fact that we have to contend with the world. We live in a world that is antithetical to how God wants us to live. And we've got to contend with that. And also, because we're one group of people called to be with each other, we're charged to contend with each other as well. But not just contend with each other, to build each other up and to accept each other in Christ for his praise. And the reason for that is quite simple, because we all belong to one family of God. We've all been called by one shepherd to follow one shepherd, and we all belong to God's family. And this letter has been all about what Christ has done for us individually and how we're charged as a group of people to live that out for his praise and glory. And the best way to do that, to live out God's grace, is together as a church. That's literally what church means. The gathering of people. People called out to live for God. That's what ecclesia means. That's what church is. That's where we get the name from. And it's quite important that we understand this. Because for many of us, our own families might not be what we want them to be. Many of our families might not be Christian. And of course that concerns us. The worry then is always, well, what is heaven going to look like? Some of us might have very few family left. Very few family left. And so the concept of being part of God's family should fill you with some comfort. Not only that, but also this idea of what comes later. So whether we have lots of family, little family, lots of Christians in our family, no Christians in our family, important thing to understand is that we have, in Jesus, been brought in to his family, and that will never change. And it's important to understand what makes us a family. And it's always been about the gospel. The gospel of Christ is what makes us literally into his family. So from chapter 15, verse 14, let's pick it up from there. Paul said, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I've written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. This is the key thing, an offering to God, acceptable to God, presented, acceptable, literally adopted into his family. And this is what Paul's been saying. It's always been about the gospel of Christ. The only reason we're our family is because of the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 17, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, what I have said and done. by the power of signs and wonders, and through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way to Lycium, I have fully proclaimed what? The gospel of Christ. Because nothing else identifies us or makes us part of God's family. This has been one of Paul's key themes. It's not your upbringing. It's not your Jewish upbringing or your Christian upbringing. Nothing that you've done. Not your knowledge. Not your achievements. And the key thing about the gospel is what the world doesn't understand, nor is it a lack of those things. The gospel is not a sympathy vote. Just because you lack something doesn't mean you're then owed something. That's what the world loves to think. But the gospel is a free gift from Christ. No one's qualified for it, and conversely, no one's disqualified from it. But it's what makes us a family. This is all about the family of God. And of course, families, all families, have certain characteristics that make them familiar. And God's family is no different. The first one we see in this is that families help each other. Families help each other and support each other. So from verse 25, Paul says, "Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem." Now don't miss how strange this is. This is where Paul's talking about. People over here in what modern day Greece, they're now sending gifts to the poor down in Jerusalem here. All part of God's people. There's no other reason that people from this region up here would want to help people down here back then if it wasn't for that bond of Christ, what literally makes them a family, because that's what families do. They help each other. It's the strongest bond we will ever have. That's what cemented us as a people. And that's one of the things that we would love to do As this church grows. What we really want to pray for as this church grows is that we could do likewise in terms of helping to support God's people in different parts of the world. And one of the great ways to do that, and one of the biggest needs, is New Zealand. New Zealand has got a very similar situation to what we have in here, where the church, their Anglican church there, has gone absolutely detestable. And just like we have here, where we've gone, joined Amy, and we've created a new Anglican community, they've done that in New Zealand. Now the difference between us and New Zealand has got a tiny population, about 5 million. So some of these churches which have broken away from traditional supporting structures will never be self-sustainable. These churches, nearly all the ministers there are part-time, just to support themselves. So it'd be great, and one thing that we could really pray for, that as we grow, that we get to a position where we can support maybe a church, partner up with a church down there who just would never have the resources that we're open to. Of course, we want to pray that we do grow within our church first. That's always the first and foremost. But part of being in God's family is helping other members of his family. What else do families do? Families acknowledge each other. Families acknowledge each other. This is what Paul's doing at the first part of chapter 16. He's just showing, look how wide and multifaceted God's family is. Greet all these people. Greet. All these people that work at helping each other within God's family. And look how Paul teaches us how to acknowledge each member of the family. Chapter 16, verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is one of the problems that we see today, don't we, with this such timidity And that's why safeguarding has just been exploded into this dominant controlling force, all in the name of safety, but not always biblically faithful. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You'd never see that acceptable in any sort of Christian safeguarding talk, which is sad. The world has become so afraid of being hit with a lawsuit that the idea of greeting each other with a holy kiss or a hug is lost. It's sad that that's the case. But this is what Paul's saying. Acknowledge one another as part of the wider family. That's what we do at weddings, isn't it? You go to a wedding, and one of the great things about a big family gathering like that is that you get to acknowledge and see how wide your family is. Different people that you wouldn't normally see only at weddings or big gatherings, a big celebration. Of course, and within that family, you see how it's broken down, how that family is spread through different roots of genetics, essentially. All from four or two people, how wide a family goes. Cousins, aunts, uncles, children of cousins, children of children's cousins. It's always great to see how big a family can stretch. This is what Paul is showing the people here. Look where all these people are from. Different areas. Look how wide and far God's family stretches. Always important to acknowledge one another. And it's important as well that not only do the people in Jerusalem know that they're not alone, the people in Jerusalem have been particularly persecuted and particularly struggling. And yet they're receiving a gift from the churches up in this area here, modern day Greece. It's so important that we know we're not doing things on our own. We need to know how wide God's family stretches. Families protect each other as well. Families protect each other. And this is really important. Look what Paul says here, chapter 16 from verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Keep away from them. What we're seeing here, what Paul's trying to encourage them to do, not exactly, but it's almost this mafia-like understanding of how God's family works. Why this mafia-like understanding? Well, what's the mafia so famous for doing? These Italian families in Sicily, what they're so famous for doing is when someone betrays the family, they're out of there, aren't they? Quick as a shot. Because they're protecting the family name. It's not just the family's interest, but it's the family name. And that's why it's so important. That's why Paul is saying, when someone's muddying the family name, you get rid of them. Because the family name is God's name. It's God's image, his teaching. And when that is misaligned, that affects people's perspective of who God is. It's got to be dealt with. Families protect each other. And we've seen this, haven't we? We looked at this last week. We were talking about contending with each other. Contending with each other's foibles, but the Bible's quite clear on when it comes to contending with each other in terms of misaligning who God is, have nothing to do with them. Anyone who doesn't obey, do not associate with them. Anyone who's just full of fruitless deeds, have nothing to do with them. Anyone who wants to cause division, keep away from them. Warn a divisive person, have nothing to do with them. Anyone who continues teaching falsehoods, do not even take them into your house. This is what Paul's saying. Verse 17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. And this is the important thing, that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. This is about protecting each other and protecting the family. Of course, we don't want to go to the extremes of the mafia. We're not going to put horses' head in people's beds if they don't understand the gospel correctly. But the sentiment here is the same. The danger Having the family name dragged through the mud is actually detrimental to those who are looking, to those who don't know God. To hear a lie about God is not good for them. That's not how God's family blesses the world. Verse 18. How do we know that this is such a big issue? Verse 18. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And that's the key thing. Because they're not trying to build up the family, to protect the family, to help each other. They're just there for their own purposes. Jesus made this quite clear. Whoever, Matthew 12, verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's no in between. We're either for Christ and for his purposes, or we're in hindrance. That's why it's so important that we do protect each other. We want to protect each other from people who are just there to cause division and to misalign the name of God. But we need to be wise. We need to be on our guard. Verse 19. Everyone has heard about your obedience. So I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. We need to be on our guard. Look out for each other, protecting each other, just like all the best Sicilian families do. And isn't there, there's a natural instinct, isn't there, within families in terms of protecting each other. Sometimes we just do it without thinking. And that's seen best, probably, with dads. Don't look at some of these clips. The natural instinct to protect your children is unbelievable. Have a look at some of these. There we go. Natural instinct. That's what Paul's trying to instill in these people. Look, you're part of a family that's going to transcend time and eternity. Have a natural instinct to protect each other. That's what families do. And lastly, why do we want to do that? Why is that so important? Because God will receive his family. God will receive his family. The people in God's family are the people you're going to spend eternity with. And that's why he wants us to look out for each other. Because we have this sure hope to come. Verse 20, chapter 16. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Down to 25. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaimed about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. This is the key. God will crush Satan. And all evil will be banished. It will come to an end. And God will collect his family. Because that's how we've been established. We're only established through God's gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ. Only the gospel of Christ will establish that. What's he mean by establish you? It means he will protect you, just like any family will do, until the end comes. Because it's always been about the gospel. Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Only the gospel. And that is the only thing that establishes us in him. That's what he's saying in verse 25. So if we want to know, am I part of this? How do I know that God is going to receive me? How do I know I'm part of his family? And it's all about your desire for obedience. That's what he's saying in verse 26. But now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. Simply put, if you have any desire at all to obey God, then that's the gift of faith working in you. That's how you know. If you want to live for Him in any way or form, that is God, gospel, working in you. Otherwise you just wouldn't be interested. You simply have no desire to live for God, only for yourself. That's how you know. And you can be assured that God will receive you as He will with all those who belong to Him. And the purpose of all this, what Paul's been writing about, the purpose of all this to operate as a family is to make God's family so attractive to the outside world that they want that same gift of grace too. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of God's family is to present to the world something that the world can never offer. So that same power of gospel can adopt other people into His family. Indeed, that's what we want to pray for in this church, don't we? God makes His family. And God makes His family just like any other family, to help each other, to acknowledge each other, to protect each other, knowing that God will receive His family. Let me pray. Lord, we do indeed thank You that You have called us to be a family, Lord. And Lord, we know that to be adopted into Your family, Lord, transcends any other connection or tie that we have down here on earth. And yet, Lord, we are still part of different families and we are still called to live for You. So, Lord, help us to understand how to be a faithful witness in Your family, but also in our own families, in our own friendship circles, at work. Help us, Lord, to live in a way that points people to You, but with that assurance that no matter what happens, You will receive us as members of Your family. And we can be confident of that, Lord. Lord, in the meantime, help us to look out for each other as we would for our own blood relatives, Lord. Help us to have that same instinct for each other, to protect each other from false teaching, from temptations, to encourage each other, to build us up for Your glory and for the blessing of others too. Amen.